This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning. It's Jace, our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop down in Texas City. All right, looking at weather right now, Galveston's 73 down on the island, and they're calling for areas of dense fog again this morning with abundant sunshine later today with a high of 79. East-northeast winds 10 to 20, and for tonight, clear to partly cloudy. More areas of patchy fog developing with a low of 74, southeast winds 5 to 10, and for tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, very warm, high of 82, southeast winds 15 to 25. So still warm temperatures. I'll let you know it when I get a decent forecast for fall weather. Doesn't look like it at this time. Tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We're sitting on a high right now. That occurred at 3:09 a.m. It was a 1.6. And then we have a low at 9:25 a.m., a 1.2, a high at 1:29 p.m., a 1.4, and a low tonight, 8:30 p.m., an 0.8. 7:29 a.m. is sunrise, 6:37 p.m. sunset, moon phase 27%. We're almost up to our next new moon. All right, current conditions right now around the complex. Those winds are calling for today. They're still down this morning. Looks like a southeast wind at 5 at the Galveston North Jetty and 3 at Tiki Island. And in San Luis Pass, it's about 5 miles per hour. And up in the top of the complex, Morgan's Point up there showing a southeast wind at 2. And the old rollover site, southeast at 2. So winds are pretty much non-existent. Got a kind of a, looks like a northwest wind at 2, or a west wind at 2 at Eagle Point. So it's, winds are down for now. So enjoy while they're down. Get them. All right. Well, let's get over to the Tri-Bay area and hook up with a hammer this morning, Captain Glenn Hammond, see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Hey, just fine. Good morning, Captain Mickey. How's it going over there on your end?
It's all good, my friend. Thanks for even asking.
Good deal. They catching some monsters over there, or some solid fish, or what's happening?
What kind of monsters? What species?
Well, I guess
bull reds. That's the big deal. Bull reds. Lots of them. A lot of big bull reds. Big old black drum. Trout are small.
They can pull.
Yeah.
Now, people wouldn't be surprised how a black drum can bite a big black drum equally as hard as a redfish, I would say. I mean, the bigger ones anyway. They can open
Yeah, they don't
tail.
Have the speed and the head shake.
No,
all
they
that,
don't have the speed. That's
the,
right.
They got the power and they've got that width and girth where they can get sideways on you and make it hard to kind of like reeling in a truck tire once you wear them down.
Oh,
no, no, I'm talking about the big ones. Not the pups are fun to catch. They fight good on light tackle.
Plenty of them.
Yes.
Plenty of them. Plenty baby drums, plenty baby reds, plenty baby trout. Our population seems to be okay. I know we're trying to correct it right now by making some adjustments, but to me, we're catching just tons of all kind of little fish.
Yeah.
You know, I guess maybe that's what we do. But starting Wednesday afternoon when I come in, no, wait, I'll tell you what happened. Wednesday morning when we were launching, I had a buddy of mine back me down, and I took the boat off the trailer and tied it up to the dock. All right, he just eased the truck up and parked it where I could go park it, you know, in the parking spot. So I got in the truck, started pulling up to the parking spot, went to hit the brakes, and they went to the floor.
Uh-oh.
And this is on my 2012 that I pulled the boat with, my old rust bucket truck.
Yeah, right.
And one of the steel tubings up there, it's not the master cylinder. It's I can see somewhere right not too far from there. It's a little tubing. Something busted. Something corroded through.
Probably rusted too.
Oh, it did. I put a couple of bottles of fluid in there, and it came out as fast as you put it in there when you
pumped the brakes.
Yeah,
it's probably running to one of your calipers on your brakes.
So,
probably a brake
anyway,
line.
The shop was real busy all this past week, and they told me to call him this coming week, and maybe they can get me in there. But he was loaded up. So, well, I'm put loose and fancy free. I would say truckless for a while. So we ended up using, that was on Tuesday, I guess. Wednesday we used a buddy of mine's truck. That's what it was. That was Tuesday afternoon because I had a charter for another guy Wednesday.
What about your new truck?
Well, I don't, let's just forget about that. Just leave it under the house.
Why?
Right,
I mean,
now
that's what you got it for, is to use it, man.
It is. And I got a brand new hitch to put on there and everything. And if worse comes to worse, I'm going to use it. But my buddy didn't mind. He had a 2-inch ball on the back of his truck, and he was coming down to go fishing anyway. So we just used his truck to go launch it. And I got back and made some calls and stuff. And yeah, I'm going to get her in. I'm gonna get her in this coming week and get it fixed. But no, if I need to, I'll use the one of the 2015.
Yeah.
It's the truck is almost 10 years old, but it's spotless, and I really don't want to get no salt water on it. Not yet.
You sound like a buddy of mine. He used to come borrow my truck to take his garbage to the dump because he didn't want to get a flat tire. I said, "What? Use your own vehicle. I don't want to get a flat." I said, "Well, so you want to put flats on mine then?" Come on, man.
Come on, man. Yeah. No, it was pretty crowded down here yesterday. Quite a bit of traffic. It was a beautiful day, too. Southeast winds early in the morning were real light, just like they are this morning. But they picked up pretty good yesterday afternoon. I guess it was blowing around 15, I guess, maybe a little more.
Yeah.
But, man, it did feel good coming out of the east, though. Just dry humidity, and you know what I'm saying. Just a better wind.
Good smelling wind too. You don't get any refinery smell or anything like that. Good old
coming
guff,
straight off
guff
the
smell.
That beachfront was beautiful all the way to the beach yesterday, Captain.
I bet.
Beautiful, man. That surf is really cleaning up. I haven't heard anything. I know there's been a million people out there. I'd like to hear some fishing reports, and I'm just not hearing them. My next door neighbor, a couple doors down, he went out, him and his father, yesterday, and they had a grand slam. He sent me a picture of a trout, red and a flounder. It looked like pretty nice fish, but that's one report that I heard, and not too much else. And anybody, and they stayed gone all day. They launched at 5:30 in the morning, and he didn't get off the water till dark last night. Now, I don't know how many fish they caught. He sent me the picture of that slam, but I just can't see staying on the bay that long, that many hours. Good Lord. Of course, there's restaurants on the water down here that you can always take your break and, you know, pull right up out of the canal and pull up to the restaurant and you're in your boat, park your boat and go in and have you a little toddy or a glass of tea or something. Yeah. But anyway, there's a couple of places like that down here, so which makes it kind of convenient. But anyway, let's see. No, it's drying out. I did a little yard work 101 yesterday and was able to help my neighbor get his yard straightened up. He hadn't been able to come down in a while, and him and his father showed up to go fishing. I said, y'all just keep on going. Y'all go fishing. That yard will be took care of. So I went over and did them a good job and got it. But it's finally drying up a little bit. I started watering my garden and all my plants and stuff. You know, the wind is what's drying them out. Not having much rain right now. And then with all the winds that we've been getting from different directions, that really helps dry the ground out. But it's good because we've been sopped in here for months, man. I mean, months with the salt water up around us for several months with the high tides. All summer long, seems like we've been running high tides. And our grass is just yellow. Everywhere where that salt water has stood, it's got a lot of, it needs some good flushing, some good freshwater rains, and flush it all out before that grass start growing back.
Well, I don't see much in the forecast for anybody right now.
Well, they said maybe Wednesday or Thursday, I think Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, the closer we get to those dates, the more they'll back those percentages.
But, well, we're going to head out to Sweeney today and do a final cleanup just before, you know, next Saturday morning's opening day. So
I know. I wish we could get some cool weather for all the hunters next weekend. You know, waterfowl and deer. You know, quail opened yesterday, and, man, quail reports I got out of South Texas yesterday were phenomenal. Unbelievable.
Nice. Nice. Boy, that's something I hadn't had in years and years.
Nature's nacho. Boy, good little birds to eat.
Man,
especially wild quail. Wild quail is the
tip. You know, I forgot to tell you, on Wednesday with Steve, he had him a couple of nice reds. I told you we had that red that had been bitten and the meat was terrible. Right. I caught a 19-inch flounder that day, and I didn't even tell you about it. So guess what? Melinda and I had grilled flounder last night.
Ooh,
with bacon wrapped
good.
Shrimp. Yeah. Buddy, first time I put some flounder in my mouth, and I can't tell you how long. And it
was wonderful.
You're
eating good. Shrimp broche and grilled flounder.
Yeah. Oh, it's tough down here, you know. It's tough. But, let's see. The bait camps are holding bait. Looks like all flags are flying. So if you're coming down here and you're looking for live bait, well, there's four or five different bait camps as you're coming on down, so it looks like everybody's got bait for the weekend, and you ought to be in good shape today. Everybody needs to get a friend and go out and boat if you ain't already done it. Go get her done, man. It's very important this time.
I finished that up a while back.
Yeah, me too. Sure did. Got it took care of a while back. But anyway,
well, if you got time, get it done, because you never know on election day, anything can happen. You know how our lives are these days, too much stuff going on. And
I'm not much for standing in line. That's right. I went the first day we could vote. Melinda and I went, and we took a friend. We took one of our neighbors with us. Anyway, let's see, Captain Mickey, that's about all I got on this end. Let's see. Bait camps, boat ramps down at San Luis Pass. Both of them are open. County boat ramps open. There's a boat ramp over on Blue Water High or 332 over at the old Saltgrass Bait and Tackle. There's a boat ramp. Bridge Bait and Tackle has a boat ramp. If you buy something, you can launch for free. If you don't buy something, it's $5 to launch there, and that's right under the causeway at the 332 bridge. So right. Plenty of boat ramps. All of them are open. Our weather's really nice this morning, really calm. So
it is. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful morning anyway.
I hope so, buddy. We're headed out to Sweeney, do a little touch-up, and we'll be ready for the next weekend.
Oh, cool. You're ready for opening weekend, the big day.
Yes, sir.
Buddy. Well, somebody wants to call you, Glenn. Give them a number so they can get a hold of you, man.
Sure. They can always reach me at 713-208-0683. Happy fun Sunday. Have a good one.
You too, Glenn. See you now.
Okay, buddy.
All right, later. Yes. All right. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, and you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. With a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery, there's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has a combined experience of over 100 years, and they're here to support you from start to finish, whether, you know, you're on a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Allied has you covered. And remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated to let them handle it all for you at 281-332-6224 or check them out at sales@alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 418 here in the Bayou City. Now let's run down to Freeport and let's check in with Captain Jeff Naylor and see what's going on in the deep blue seas. Good morning, Nalem. What's up?
What's up, Captain Mickey? How you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, man. I got Casey with me. We're doing okay.
Hey, Casey.
Hey.
What's I'm up, back. Man?
Oh, man. Just how about them Aggies?
Did they pull that off against LSU?
Oh, yeah, man.
But, right, there was so much going on with the World Series, and the Rockets are making an unbelievable comeback in the fourth quarter, and the A&M game, plus my grandson, he was over at my house visiting, and I was busy with him. I had it going on, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was good. I was excited. I've been an Aggie, you know, fan. I went to A&M also. My kids.
Sorry to hear that. No, I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
I know. Hey Jeff, you know any good Aggie jokes?
Oh man, I get cut over here doing that.
No, if they're from Texas, I pull for them, man.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we liked a lot. That was fun to watch. But other than that, all good. About to go spend some time down south here for a couple of weeks next week. I'm going to Carrizo for a couple of weeks to do some hunting, and I got
I got some clients coming. I'm going to take some guys deer hunting. We're going to do some quail hunting. I'm excited about that. I'm going to be down there.
Well, I'll tell you what, the quail hunts I heard about out of South Texas yesterday were just unbelievable. I mean,
wow.
Every truck at Blaine's, they jumped 25 to 30 coveys. And he had dog handlers in from all over the place, and they said they had never seen quail like that in their entire career.
That is good news. I mean, I know we have a lot of birds, you know, because I've been down there dove hunting and stuff. I've been seeing birds, but until you really get out there and you know really start looking for them, you don't really know. But I mean, I feel like it's going to be really good. So,
yeah,
good news.
Yeah, you're around Cthulhu area. That's good quail country too.
Oh yeah, yeah. So well, I thought you said like you know during the heavy rain. Oh no, when there's heavy rain, it scatters them. When it, you know,
yeah
but.
All those areas had the right amount of the rain at the perfect time for, you know,
that's horn
right. development on deer and growth on quail and reproduction and just, you know, quail have to have insects. And, man, when you get the rain, you get the grasshoppers, all of it, and it just, man, they just thrive.
You get good cover and they can hide because everything
sure.
in the world, everything wants to eat a quail, man. That's their bike of.
Including their me. Bike. There's nothing better than wild quail, brother. I'm with you.
Well, you know, we spent we went fishing. You know, Friday was our last amberjack trip for the season. We're, you know, of course, it's over this weekend. So, right. we finished off with a couple of amberjacks. It's probably better trip than we've had in a while. It's been pretty desolate, to be honest. That's not good. But you know, we caught a few, and we got out there. We you know, shrimp boats were just taking off. We were pulling up, so I hope they come back. I don't know if they're gonna come back or not. And they, you know, they stayed out there a long time. This little group has stayed down south for a while, and so you know, I would imagine it's probably tough fishing. But
probably
it's been tough fishing on the shrimp boats kind of pretty much all year.
Yeah.
So I mean, hadn't been great this year. I mean, terrible, terrible. You know, it's ironic, too. I talked to a friend of mine over in Galveston. He takes a lot of the research groups, you know, from A&M University and stuff like that. And they were saying that they went out to the Cervezas and were doing test runs for small tuna. So a lot of, you know, the real small yellowfin and all that kind of stuff were hanging out there. And they had stellar catches, according to him. He said the numbers are way up.
Are they going on just a regular fishing boat, like a sport fishing boat?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Are they going?
Matter of fact, it's my old boat. I sold them my
third. What do they do? Go out there and just try to catch tuna and see how many tuna are out
That's
there?
It, basically, and check their sizes and how many, you know. Don't give me the line what the science is behind it, but they basically put a bunch of lures out. I think they kind of time it. So if you get out there and you, you know, troll around for 6 hours and you catch 15, it's good. If you catch two, that's not good. I mean, you know, something
are they,
like that.
Are they fishing? We need to figure out what lures they're throwing. They must know more about fun fishing.
They're
trying
color?
To catch lures. That's it. Yeah. Yeah, apparently they spawn out and around that time all the juveniles would run around in that, right along the shelf. And so
so Cervezas is a good spot to do that.
Cervezas, yeah, they're right. Cervezas. Now, they're all small. You know, the elephant they were catching were too small. So, I mean, they're you know, juvenile, so bait size.
Keep,
yeah, just bait size.
Bait
size yellow pants. They say there's a bunch of them, though. They say that the season should look pretty good. Of course, you know, coming into winter season, they got, you know, I guess historically you catch big yellowfin, you know, during the winter season. And they say there's plenty of food out there and plenty of juveniles. So.
Well, it's funny you said that. You know, back in the day when we had the party boat business, before the floaters were even out there, but basically, at the edge of our trip line was Tequila Cerveza Little Sister Rig. That was the end of the world for us, and that's where we went tuna fishing. We would just go to the rig at night, tie up, and throw diamond jigs all night and catch them all night. Mostly black fins, but, I mean, catch them all night long. I mean, just one after the other if they were thick there.
Yeah.
Most of the smaller tunas, but sometimes you'd catch some 20, 25-pound black fins doing that, and occasionally a little yellow fin, not many, but a few. But that's the way we used to catch our tunas. We didn't. Wasn't anywhere else to go besides there. So
imagine.
Mm.
You know, Mickey, you know, where we're sitting right now, I've changed subject, man. It's flat. It just, I mean, there ain't a lick of wind.
Yeah, it's down this morning big time. You know, I ran through patchy fog coming in, and I did that yesterday morning when I left. It was dense. It was hard to see going back home.
We're in a weird, like, weather pattern. There's, like, no weather coming through here. It's, like, the same weather every single day this late. November is weird. Like, nothing's changing. It's staying the same every day. It's weird. Crazy. Only one really good cold front, and it's dropping just a little bit. Yeah, it's been a strange season. No rain. You know, I mean, honestly speaking, those shrimp boats, you know, I kicked myself because, you know, this would have been perfect time. I think they hadn't been hit in a couple weeks, and you know, it was – the water clarity was crap the whole way out there, and then when we got out there – just cleaned up right before we got
it. Was good out there where you were?
Decent. Yeah. It wasn't great, but it was decent. Yeah. You know, bluish.
We stopped at a couple of, you know, there was a big rope we found and had some mahi underneath it and didn't want to eat. They were real tough, but, you know, it was that clear anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. But, again, on the way out there, it was all murky green.
You know, water. I wonder if these water temperatures this year is causing that. That is so strange because we really hadn't had the runoff in a while, you know, as far as the river's running and everything.
No, you're right. It should be cleaner out there than it is. But I think really and truly that those storms, those big hurricane storms, messed the water up.
Well,
the clarity.
I didn't think about that.
Notice a lot of, especially in the shallower water. You know, when you get way, way deep, it stays blue all the time. You know, when you get out middle of the Gulf, but. Seems like the near shore waters have messed up the, you know, the clarity for the kind of fishing that we do.
It's hard to say. It could be blue right underneath, but it was murky green, murky. You couldn't see. I mean, maybe 3 foot, 4 foot below the boat, it was bad murky. That was probably. You know, we were at the West 27s at one point, and it was just murky. Couldn't see. It's been strange, you know. I don't know what to say about that, but you know, luckily the last weekend there wasn't much, there wasn't much fishing, so the fish were nibbling pretty good. There was some seaweed still that was kind of balling up a little bit, and Friday wasn't smooth, but it was getting better. You know, by today or something like that, it's probably stacking up somewhere out there. There's pretty good rips still. But, we got the polish off Amjack season, which I'm happy with. You know, who knows if that's going to come around next season. Kind of looks like, according to the biologists and all that, they're going to start tightening up those seasons, you know.
Tightening them up even more?
Even more. Well, I mean, right now you're not getting May season, right? So right now you're only getting August through October.
We did get a May season.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We did get a May season. That's right.
Yeah, we did. Anyway, I wouldn't be surprised at all if this coming May season goes away. I mean, in reality, it probably should. I mean, you know, there's not very many of them been caught. It's just been tough for Amberjack all the way around. It's probably not a bad thing to shorten that season up. And I hate saying it because I love making money, don't get me wrong. But, and they said they're going to potentially tighten up some of the other fish species, too. So we'll see. Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yeah, micromanage ourselves out of business.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
But you got to try to do something. You can't just sit back and wait till it's all gone and say, man, we should have made these changes. You got to try and see if it works. Sure. You know, that's what we're doing with our trout fishery right now inshore.
I wish they would do some. I wish we could make our regulations just make a little more. Our most abundant fish is our most regulated fish.
Mm-hmm.
We should regulate other fish more and maybe get a little bit more lenient. But that's what I think.
Right.
That would make sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, the other fish may come in the line if we get a few more of them snappers out of there.
Yeah, there's a lot still to me, a lot of snapper. I mean, we. Back in the, I mean, I can tell you when the snapper fishing is bad. I've seen it bad. It ain't bad right now. It's good. Really good.
And also, tender groove. Everything else is crap, but the amberjack, I mean, the snapper is good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and, you know, there's, they've been threatening to actually start some regulations on mining too, which is another thing this year that's been real slow. I mean, the mining fishing has been just ridiculous slow. And of course, kingfish. Everybody knows kingfish. That's been the talk of the, you know, the fishing industry for the last couple of years now.
Yeah, that's been in decline really bad the last couple of years.
Yeah. I want to say overall, looking back on the season, we would find them balled up maybe twice the whole season.
Yeah.
Sitting out there on our big kingfish spots. Mm-hmm. And you would, and generally, you know, once they've hit those spots that we fish, you know, they'll be there for a month or two. And you know, you go there one day and it's stellar, and the very next day it's like they all took off. I mean, mm-hmm. They only 288 north, I guess.
288 north.
Oh, man. Money.
But, again, reflecting the season, you know, the swordfish bite has been great. You know, they had some real good runs on blue marlin this year. The sailfish didn't quite hit like they did last year. Last year was just one of the most stellar years that I can recall in July and August. This year, well, you caught one sailfish, didn't you?
Caught one. It was another one. We lost another one to because of a backlash. But yeah, we had a couple of, but that was just a luck of the draw deal. We just were out there and we just happened to be a sailfish behind the boat kind of deal. So get to get two of them in the summer is pretty good for me, but not trying to catch them. We're just trying to get kingfish,
right.
And we actually hook a sailfish, kingfish.
Yeah.
So
bonus, big time bonus fish, man. Let me knock this break out, guys. Let me do this break real quick. I'll come right back. Y'all hang with me. I shall return. All right. Well, folks, when you're talking processing and grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, the Belleville Meat Market always comes to mind. Check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and check out all their pecan smoked pulled pork, homemade hot dogs available on the menu also. And their smoked sausage samples, they're available daily in the store. You can try it before you buy it, see which blend you like. And they have bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. And original country hot dogs, you can buy two packs of those and get the third pack free. If you're looking to have a quarter or half calf process, that's available for pre-order also. And their wild game processing, they have a new sausage recipe available just in time for deer season. You got to try it. And also get you some deer tamales and venison hot dogs made. Your family will love that you did. And they're now taking orders for their country smoked turkeys. Those are 11 to 13-pound average weight birds with limited supplies, so get them while you can right here before Thanksgiving. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:36 here in the Bayou City. All right, guys, we are back.
Back in action. Back in action. You know, before I forget, friends of ours, Brian Burke and Steve Carousel, they're down there at Bisbee's Black and Blue this last week. They got third place on Thursday in the daily, or Friday, I'm sorry, with three catch and releases, had one on Thursday, and then I think they had another one or two stripes on Saturday. They did stellar out of 150 plus bows. They
That's in Cabo.
That's in Cabo, yeah.
Right.
And this is the last leg of it. So, man, stellar. Kudos to those guys, man. They crush it this year. So,
well, that's,
you know,
awesome.
Unfortunately, Black and Blues is a winner take all. There's nothing for second place on the daily.
No.
Wow. Yeah, I give it all to the winner. All the winner, man. It's all or none. That's it. You don't get any other opportunities. They did really, I mean, you know, really the week before was the second tournament of the Bisbee's series, and they caught a huge yellowfin. I think it was like three something.
I saw a picture of that fish.
Yeah. I mean, didn't hardly even look like a yellowfin. I mean, it was just pale, and
it was upper 30s, hundreds, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a big one.
Huge yellowfin.
My buddies actually ended up catching one that same week, and I think theirs was pushing 200. I don't think they actually put it on the scale because it wasn't worth any money. But, I mean, sounds like it's still efficient. You know, and to be really honest with you, the last couple of years down in Bisbee's, I mean, if you catch one or two blues, I mean, you're doing pretty good. So there was several caught. I think he told me there was 40-something releases on Thursday. Or, yeah, Wednesday was the first day, right? Well, so, yeah, I mean, Bisbee's turned around a little bit this year. I don't know if there's any killfish, but there were several releases. So
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, 1 year I'm gonna make it down there, go give that a shot. But man, you know, we were sitting here talking about what to catch next. You know, I mean, you in the end of November here. I mean, all my seasons are closed. I mean, it's kind of a yellowfin. Now, man.
Yeah,
yellowfin tuna. It's time to go out there and catch those tuna, those floaters.
This is when we used to catch them the best.
You know, October, November, back in the day. That's when we had some of our best. We had some really good trips in May, April and May. Then also in the fall, we had trips where we limited 30 people out.
Nice. It's
a lot of tuna. Man, it's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot of tuna. And
that's a lot of. A lot of beef on the hoof right there, buddy. That's a lot of meat.
Yeah. My favorite time is spring. Springtime's always a 40, 50 pounder. And you normally, you know, the only times I've really done well, limited out multiple trips in a row, is in that March, April-ish, February sometimes. Lucky. But, the reports I've been getting back from the floaters have not been real great. It's actually been desolate. It
looks like that altimetry's been bad.
It is. It's starting to, man, it goes back and forth. It's so hard to say. There's just been some really super heavy negative or positive altimetry out there, and then it kind of dissipates a little bit, and there'll be another little negative. There's a little bit of a negative out there. Theoretically, right now, Nance and Boomvang should be stellar. They're right close to a zero mark. You want to get... You know, in that whole altimetry game, the thought process is that you want to be closest to the zero line as you can. So, you don't necessarily want to be right in the negative, and you don't want to be in the middle. You definitely don't want to be in a positive. But you want to be right on the zero line. And the theory behind it is you got a positive that's pushing them one way, and a negative putting the other, and then you have this real slow current in the middle. It's kind of where all the bait would theoretically just kind of relax a little bit, you know, they've been turned up and not got you. Something to that effect, anyways. But, he's right, though. I mean, that altimetry has been funky weird all summer.
Yeah, as on the charts, it's been pretty crazy.
Everything's just been different inshore and offshore this year. It's been strange.
Hey, man, are they closing flounder again in November like they have in the past?
Yes.
I was just curious because I had a buddy that's going to. Wanted to go fishing for flounder on Halloween. He says,
He better hurry.
Are they catching them over there in Galveston right now?
Man, you know, I'm not seeing the real good flounder fishermen are, and the guys that are fishing the flats, you know, like wade fishing and fishing shallow and around drains and points and stuff are catching some really nice flounder. But, as far as, you know, the big dump and the run and all that, that hadn't begun yet. You know, like stacking them up in Galveston Channel and all down around Pelican. And we need some cold fronts and water temperature drops plus water drops. You know, all the above.
I don't know, a real big run. It does look like we're going to get a weather change next weekend. Starting next weekend, and it may continue, but I'm just praying it happens. They're showing a pretty big dip in the jet stream about next weekend coming this way, and maybe we'll get some weather change by next next week. And then the week after, for deer hunting and whatever, hopefully it'll cool off, and the duck hunters probably want it too. But it looks like it might change a little bit. I don't know if it's going to get super cold or anything, but at least it might get a little bit of a dip once that jet stream. Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, speaking of reflecting on this last summer season offshore, I think that was one of the biggest things. In the whole month of July, there was several flounder caught out there.
Offshore?
The West 30s, they were smoking them over there on the Sharky, and then we're catching them on beeliner fishing. Yeah. I caught one offshore one time. In 300 foot of water, I caught like a 4 pound flounder. And this was in like September. I remember it was in September.
A 4 pound flounder
in 300 foot of water. Yeah, fishing for grouper, I had a rig. I caught a flounder.
Wow.
Yeah. It was brown. I saw it coming up. It's brown, but I don't think it's a grouper.
Maybe we need to reinvent everything. Just start flounder fishing offshore. You know,
how did that sucker go that far out? He must not have had any friends in the bay. He got pushed a long way offshore.
They caught several of them. A friend of mine, you know, he fished out of Sargent's, and they had several. They had several, like, you know, at least one a trip for a few weeks there.
Catching flounder offshore.
Yeah. I kept seeing them with the pictures of flounder, you know, in the pictures, and I'm thinking, would y'all stop inshore? What do you got? I'd be like, oh, man, he's out there, you know, 180 foot.
Wow.
Give them flounders. It's weird, too, because, you know, like I said, when you go out there and you know, when we fish shrimp bosun, I've always pulled up to shrimp bosun asking for their chum. You know, they always will be very happy to give it to you. They don't care about trading or anything. And you know, you always see some really neat looking flounders. I mean, there's some offshore flounders that got you know, there's a couple of species that have like a blue dot.
Yeah,
just very interesting looking flounders. And you know, this year I can't remember seeing a single one in any of the baskets that we got. We got at least three or four.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Seeing that chum, mainly little bitty snapper, right? Man, lots of little snapper, but I mean, all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, you know, crabs, big old long, just crabs there, big old long, you know, pinchers, yeah, and legs and stuff, and yeah, what do they call them? Scorpion fish, and oh yeah, yeah, lizard fish,
sea robins, stuff like that.
This year was, you know, and the other thing that you get a bunch of is croakers. They tons and tons of croakers. And, you know, I can't explain that. I don't get it.
Well, apparently there's croaker out there. And you know, croaker's a dang good bait. From the bay all the way to offshore, croaker's a really good bait.
Good table fare. Are they bigger out there than they are inshore?
I mean, they're not. We never catch any out there. I mean, I've seen a couple caught on commercial boats. Like, brought in some big, big croakers. I don't know where they're catching. Yeah, I saw the right over here at the commercial dock, like, last year. I may even have a picture of it on my phone. They got 4, 5, 6 of them in a mug with beeliners. They're freaking 2.5, 3 pound freaking croakers.
You know, we used to get those into our bays. I mean, it's so weird that we don't get that influx of those fish like that anymore.
The golden croaker run, right? The golden croaker run that everybody always.
I'm telling you, nothing tastier than an Atlantic croaker.
Mm.
Or a good big kingfish, you know, a whiting, you know, on the East Coast. That's they call right. them kingfish.
Yep, kingfish. So when was the croaker run? When did that used to be? What time of year was that?
This time of year. It'd start up my way kind of mid to late September, and it would work its way through the whole month of October. And you know, depending on the weather, too, you know, whether you're getting a lot of cool fronts or what. But it was lock and load, man. I mean, it was a big deal. You had people come down from, you know, from states far wide, you know, Oklahoma and all of our states surrounding Texas coming down just for the croaker run, like they do the flounder run, or used to be.
Fishing down at the dock when I was a kid, right over here, my dad's dock, that was a big catch for me. I mean, I catch a big croaker occasion, man, I was happy.
Fillet size, you know, when you put a knife to them and fillet them and have a big, nice, healthy fillet off of a croaker, that's good stuff.
They fight like a redfish, basically. They fight good.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're way tougher. If they got as big as red, you'd need heavier equipment to catch them. They're tough fish.
Yeah. We, you know, offshore, there's a lot of in the basket, and that's probably the majority of what's been in the basket the last couple of those. You know, very little, you know, you'll find toward the end of, that, you know, there's a lot of squid in them. And I hadn't seen all the squid this year in that basket. Mantis shrimp, there's mantis shrimps in there.
Not a ton.
You know, this year's kind of been more croakers than anything else. So my theory on the croakers is the reason why we don't catch that big croakers offshore is they don't grow to get that big because they get hurt.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's big-time food for all those fish offshore, those little croakers.
Yeah.
That's like ringing the dinner bell. But to answer your question, though, mainly little small snappers, beeliners, you know, they'll they'll hit them suckers hard, man. I remember one time about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, there was multiple trips in a row where there was nothing but snapper, nothing but baby snapper. And that, you know, and a lot of times those guys will drag in the same area every night, you know. So I would hit multiples, and you know, up and down from, you know, the weather buoy all the way to the E-29, and all of them had just baby snapper. And man, I thought to myself, wow, you know, I'm always a little upset when one doesn't swim down, but heck, they're whacking them 10,000 at a time.
Can you imagine how many they were killing before they put the bycatch devices on the nets, the turtle excluder devices before they did that? How many snapper they were killing back then? That's why they put those bycatch devices. That was part of the snapper deal that helped save the snapper. That's all they were really trying to save was the snapper on that. Once they got the turtle saved, then they started putting the other device on for the snapper. The bycatch. I mean,
didn't do all of it, but it does some of it. The bigger fish get out.
Yeah.
The bigger fish get out of the bycatch devices. Those little ones still get stuck in the net. They kill them anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get the fins and stuff all hung up in it and their gills.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, we hadn't seen a bunch of it this year. And honestly speaking, there hadn't been a bunch of spring boats to begin with. I mean, it had been pretty slow all season. Even right when it began, there was a few, I would say five at the most.
Yeah.
And in that area, maybe it's more down Brownsville.
Well, they're just, the market on shrimp has just been driven down to where those guys can't make any money. You know, we buy all this import stuff.
Yep, yeah, that's right. They can't compete with the price.
No, they can't. You know, and you know the price of everything, insurance and boats and fuel, and I mean all the costs that you endure. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, the same way inshore. I mean, they're just we just don't have the shrimp boats in the bays like we had back in the day. I only know a two or three up my way that hit it hard, and they're mostly doing it to catch live bait.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can make more money off the bait than they can, you know, off the sale of the shrimp itself for table fare. It's crazy. Yeah.
That is crazy. You know, a lot
of
people.
Yeah, I know it.
I asked a shrimper one time, you know, I never knew when the shrimpers hang it up. I don't know. Because it just, in Texas, only closed for 2 months. You know, basically, you know, I asked a shrimper, when is y'all season? When do y'all stop? And he said, well, when it cost me $900 to catch $800 worth of shrimp.
That's exactly right. buddy.
You wait till you spend $900? I mean, do you break even a bunch before you actually give up? He said, yeah. He said, they will stay out there until, you know, break even 4 or 5 times, and then that's it. It costs $900.
Yeah, that's a lot of work for very little reward, man. If you like live bait and table fare, like shrimp. Thank a shrimper, man. They pay the price for it, buddy.
Sure do. They sure do. But those routes go along, and hey, man, I hope and pray for all those guys. I hope that the industry that never shuts down, because you know there's a lot of routes built in that. And,
and I'm kind of selfish person. I like to eat gold. They're the best to me.
Aren't they?
I don't want to not get them anymore. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, so, yeah, selfish reasons I want them to keep shrimping, too.
Keep shrimping, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Again, I'll keep buying them if they keep catching them. You know, that kind of thing.
Support your local shrimpers.
That's right. That's right. You know, lastly, Mickey, before I forget about it, man, we did the banquet last year for our Southern Outdoor Dream. Man, so many people showed up.
Last night.
Yeah. We did super good. A lot of good people and a lot of good things happened last night.
It brought in a lot of money. The auction apparently went well. I didn't stay for the auction. I went to the benefit, the dinner, but I didn't stay for the auction because Jeff would have been begging me to buy something, so I left. We donated a trip. I donated a trip. Jeff donated a trip. And there was, of course, tons of other items. But the money brought was really good.
Oh, yeah. It was $5. Awesome. Guarantee it. You know, if anybody ever wants to get involved, it's the Southern Outdoor Dreams here in Missouri County. And we take a bunch of really good kids and some veterans. If you ever want to get involved, call me. I'll at least get you in the right direction. But, man, another just huge thing from the fishing community.
that we pull together and, you know, get to make some of these dreams happen for kids that otherwise would never know, you know, fishing, really. Yeah, they had there was 800 people there last night or more at that
My
venue.
Gosh, I didn't know it was that big.
Yeah, it was big. Lots of the contracts. Of course, we have, you know, a lot of petrochemical stuff going on here. We all, you know, around the street, but everybody.
Yeah, the whole
up.
Community coming together for something like that. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was stellar. No Sharky. Sharky's been with us for the last few years, but he couldn't.
Well, he couldn't. He had his brother's wedding or something going on.
Yeah. So, I guess you got to go to your brother's wedding. Yeah.
I think you might want to make that one.
Yeah, these guys will be here, and you know, when you get back. But for that matter, it was super great, and we get to take some more veterans. It sounds like everything's paid for, so it's we always look forward to it. Good. Well, I don't know what we're gonna fish for coming up, but I think we're heading deep one way or the other. I don't think there's any way around that.
Go deep
or go home.
Well, it's a big bird weekend. You know, the dove season ends in South Texas today. And this is that one opportunity where you can get, well, Blaine was telling me they were out, everybody limited on quail yesterday morning, and then they were all going to go out and limit out on dove in the afternoon. So that's pretty cool. You can do that. Last weekend, you can do that combined.
Yeah, they have a
two limits of birds like that.
Yep, you can do both birds. That's just be the last day you can do both. Wing Shooter's Paradise.
Yep.
All those guys going out there. Yeah, do they have, they got scale quail over there, Blaine's, or just bobwhites?
Bobs and blues.
They got blues too, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
The old runners, man.
The old blue
runners. Forever before you can get them up.
you got to be able to walk or run. Walk really fast or run to catch up.
That's it. So,
see him, you jump out of the truck, start running. Yeah. Hopefully you don't trip over a cactus.
Or a rattlesnake.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think the big ones out there this year.
Oh, boy. And when you've got birds like this, you're going to have snakes. I mean, that's just part of the game.
Yeah, be careful out there. I reached down into a bush and I had a flopping quail in a bush. And if that quail wouldn't have been moving around and flopping around, I probably would have got bit because it was snake quail.
Yes.
Right.
Well, those snakes, man, they hear those quail flopping around and they go straight to them. I mean, they beeline right to those quail.
Yeah, and you got to watch,
guys. Well, y'all have a good Sunday, what's remaining of it. And it's always good talking to you. Appreciate you coming in this morning, Casey. And
yes, sir.
I always appreciate you, brother. And if somebody wants to get with y'all, and give them some info how they can get a hold of you.
You bet, man. Call me anytime at 979-417-1013 or go to our website at stsladventures.com.
South Texas Salt Life Adventures. How does that word out?
Yep, that's it. Yep. South Texas Salt Life Adventures.
All right. Well, that'll work. Well, you gentlemen have a good Sunday, and I'll talk to you next week. Y'all be safe out there.
Thank you, Mick.
All right, appreciate it. Later. All right, it's time for our next break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural,
or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.